because you have no idea what's going on.
See, we're holding on to Samuel Dalit on the Dalit. Actually, we're in the middle of the analysis of Rabbi Shmuel Sheet in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel in our Mishnah says that even though normally we would like to get one isarin of fine barley flour for the Omer out of five sayin, on Shabbos we want to be mamayit in the malachas that are involved in cutting all of those five sayin and then grinding them and threshing them and winnowing them. So what we do is we only get three sayin, and then we're marben one malacha, namely the sifting, in order to get the isaron out of three sayin. So the Gemara yesterday wanted to compare the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel here to the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka legabe yekar ben Pesach on Erev Shabbos, in which he held that you only do the absolute, the minimum that you need to do. So that when you're doing the skinning of the carbon, you skin it down to the place where you're able to take out the emurim, to the chazer, and you leave it until after Shabbos to complete the skinning. The Chachamim held that, no, you complete the skinning. The Gemara thought that sounds like the same thing. Over here, Rabbi Shmuel says, do only what's necessary. Over there, Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka says, do only what's necessary. And in the end, the Gemara was there for that and said that not necessarily there's anything in common. I mean, over there, there's the additional issue of the bizayon for kachim to leave it half skinned. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel would agree over there that it's not the correct thing to do. And on the other hand, over there, you have everything that you could need in terms of the carbon itself once you get to the chazer. I think over here, if Rabbi Shmuel holds it, generally speaking, it's preferable to get the yisaron out of five sayin. So then maybe, according to Rabbi Shmuel ben Broka, that's what we would do. We wouldn't make any compromises. We would do what was absolutely necessary, and this is absolutely necessary. So not necessarily do the two sugyas have anything to do with each other. Today, the Gemara wants to search for further comparisons of the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel to clarify exactly how far he would go on this, and wants to compare it actually to our own Mishnah. Remember that in the Mishnah we have really two machlokas. We have on the one hand Rabbi Shmuel, who says that the shiur of the Yomer is different on Shabbos, and then we have Rabbi Chanina Ganakayanim, who says that the number of people, the number of magol, the number of kupas, is what's different. Apparently, those two things are the same, at least on the surface. So let's take a look on the sixth line down. Elo Amarabba. It's actually Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Chanina's Ganakonim, in our Mishnah, that Amruda Varachad. It's not Rabbi Chanina's Ganakonim, and Rabbi Shabbat, Niktsar, Biachid, Bemagal Achad, Bekupa Achad, Uvchol, Bishlosha, Bishalosh, Kupot, Bishalosh, Magalot. So according to Rabbi Chanina's Ganakonim, we do the absolute minimum on Shabbos. So we can use one person, using one tool, using one vessel, and that's sufficient. In the end, you get what you need. The Chachamim say no, because there's an issue of being mefarsin, the fact that Mimbochorat HaShabbat means on the day of the 16th of the Nisan. And that doesn't matter whether that day comes on Shabbos or on Chol, so that it's Doka Shabbos. Therefore, we want to be Mefarsem, the mistake of the Tzedukim and Baitusim. And because of that, whether it's Shabbos or whether it's Chol, we go out of our way to use Shalosh Kupot, Bishalosh Magalot, and the three people, and so on.
We want to Mefarsem the mistake?
We want to show them that they're wrong, or we couldn't care less about their idiocies. So if they hold we shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos, let's make a point of it. Right. So Lechorev, same thing, that Rebbe Chanina's Ganakonim says, be Mamayat as much as possible. And the Gemara again says, no, one has nothing to do with the other, because Dilma Ad Kamokam Rebbe Shmuel Haka, out of the Lecha Pesumei Milsa. How do we know that? Maybe Rebbe Shmuel, who is dealing with the question of how much to cut for the Omer, he doesn't have to worry about the issue of sticking it in their face. So he's only interested in the clear-cut halacha, mashenken. When it comes to the question of the pishtim and nilsen, maybe he would agree with the rabbanan and argue with the chanimus kanakari and say that, no, let's use three people and make a point of it. And on the other hand, inam yatkan lokam rebbe chanimus kanakari matam, maybe with the inverse would also not be true. In other words, Rebbe Chanina's Gan HaKohanim says, there, look, what do I care? Yibachad, Yibashulsha, whether I'm using one person or whether I'm using three people. Tzorach goroa mit'abed kihilchato. I've got whatever I need for the Hekdesh's requirements. And as I get exactly the same grain. Aval haka over here, if according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's an advantage in getting fine flour out of his five soy over the fine flour quality that I get at three soy, so then the law of it is avit yilchato tzorach goroa. Over here, Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim may well say, look, you know, you're not getting the best that you could possibly get. In this case, maybe he would all agree on it. Emet Rabbanim severely would argue on Rabbi Yishmael and say, don't make any compromises. So that's not a good comparison either. Elam, Ravashi tries another approach. Rabbi Yishmael, Rich,
yeah.
From Dalad, Daf Yomi is 5 after 8.
What?
Daf Yomi is 5 after 8.
Remember.
That's the only way to do it. Otherwise, it's Peshitta, basically. So Ravashi says, now let's compare Rabbi Yishmael to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Amru Davar Achad. Because we have a similar situation about a Chilul Shabbat that we could do without. And that is the din if you see the new moon. So the halacha is that you're supposed to be made, even if that Eidus involves the need to travel on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says that according to the Tanna Kamma, Bein Shenireh Ba'alil, Ubein Shelo Nireh Ba'alil, whether the moon was seen very obviously, or whether it was more subtle, Mechalalin Alavet HaShabbat, anyway, the Eidim are all sent along to be made. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Nireh Ba'alil, Mechalalin Alavet HaShabbat, if it's very obvious, then it would be foolish to be Mechal Shabbos, because, I mean, Bezdin could also see the moon, and there's plenty of people right next to Bezdin. So you see that what's Rabbi Yossi Shita? Niloam, Rabbi Yossi Yosef, Kim Dev, Shalot Tarkina? Rabbi Yossi essentially is saying, look, if it isn't absolutely necessary, don't be Tereach on Shabbos. So, Akhenami, Kim Dev, Shalot Tarkina? Then he would apparently have said the same thing as Rabbi Yishmael in our Mishnah. If you can get along with less and only do the Kitzira and the Tchina and the Zriya and so on and so forth of three, so you can get along with less. Lo Tchina. Again, says the Lord, not necessarily, we might. Dilma Adkan lo Kama Rabbi Yishmael Hochal Adeleka Nimteta Tabakshilan Nati Lava. Remember that Rabbi Yishmael didn't have to struggle with the issue that the Chachamim were struggling with over there when they were Matir Chilul Shabbos, in which they said back to Rabbi Yossi, if you do that, sir, and you tell them not to be Mechalal Shabbos because people will see it closer to Beis Din. So the next time when the moon is more subtle, they'll make their own determination. Probably somebody saw it. And they won't be Mekayim in the midst of it all. And therefore, perhaps Rabbi Shmuel would say, with taking that into consideration, we should, in fact, go ahead and send them off to Beis Din. Avol hatam. So in that case, the nimtzei datam hashilan latid lavo, taking into consideration the possibility of causing them not to be mekayim the mitzvah in the future, emek rabbanim sirla, he might agree with the rabbanim that they should be mechal shabbos. And the inverse could also be true, because inami atkan lo koma Rabbi Yossi hatam, maybe the reason that Rabbi Yossi said legabi the din of edus for the levana is the lekat tzorach gavoa v'lo nitna shabbat idachot. I mean, what's the comparison? Over there, there is no need to be dofa Shabbos at all. Correct? It's not a din in being dofa Shabbos. We need to have the information. But I mean, there's certainly not one person going to have to be dofa Shabbos. There's no inyan of being defia Shabbos. So here we definitely have to be dofa Shabbos. The question is, should we be dofa Shabbos in a small way or in a big way? With more malachas, with fewer malachas. I mean, so how do we know? Maybe over there at Olek Rabbanan, that if anyway you're going to be Durka Shabbos. And there is a Tzorach Gavoya. Over there, there was no Tzorach Gavoya, because we're assuming that Beis Din knows. So maybe you would hold in that case, maybe you would hold like the Rabbanan, that look, if you're going to be Durka Shabbos anyway, you get a better product out of the five. Be Durka Shabbos. So who's to say there's any connection whatsoever if they could both hold the opposite of each other in the respective cases? So therefore, we have really no comparison of Rabbi Yishmael to any of those shitas above. Itmar. That leads us into another very similar issue in which we have two ways to achieve something, one of which would have been kosher, the other would have been better. And it's very similar to here, where we could have gotten our product out of five, gotten a somewhat better product. According to Rabban, therefore, we would have, except they hold that always we do it out of three, and there's no difference in the product. Or whether we should be mamayit. Now, the same thing might be true in a case, itmar, shachat shtei chata'ot shel tzibur. Suppose somebody shechted two chata'ot, and he figured that, well, since it's owned by the tzibur, there's no problem. But the truth is that as a korban, we only need one. So, Omar Rabba v'tei Mirabami. Now, it's important to note that it was either Rabba or Rabami, and we're not quite sure who said this. And we'll see why that's important in a moment. Other than its general importance, always know who the author of a mimer is. That you're always going to be chayiv on the second one and potter on the first one, even if it turns out in the end that you needed the second one, because maybe, let's say, the blood of the first one spilled out. You weren't able to be mechaper. Now you end up utilizing the second one. That doesn't matter, because that doesn't change the fact that at the time that you did what you did, you shechted at something, there was no need for that shvita.
On Shabbos?
On Shabbos, yeah. And there was no need for that shvita. Sorry, I should have mentioned that. And therefore, even if afterwards it turns out ex post facto that this is a useful carbon, what's the difference? What you did wrong. What's more is afil nimtzeit harishona kechusha. Even if before you went ahead and checked the second one, you found that the first one was bad, in bad shape, didn't look good enough to be mockery. So now you want to bring lechora. This is the truth is we're only touching so far the surface of the problems here.
Wouldn't we have known that before it was shechted?
Not necessarily, as we'll see. But we are knowing it before it was shechted. Before the second one was shechted, anyway.
Yeah, I was thinking of
it. So, even then, it would be chayiv on the first one. Yes, the Gemara, but that's certainly not...
That's chayiv on the second one.
What did I say? I'm sorry. Umi Omar Rabba Hachi, is that possible that Rabba said that? And we know Rabba said the Pharisee not like that. The Omar Rabba, somebody had two chataot, one shmeina, one kechusha. So if he went ahead and shechted the shmeina first, and then v'yachakach shechat kechusha, so then he would be chayiv because there was no purpose in shechting the kechusha. But if first he shechted the kechusha, and then he shechted the Shemina, then he would be potter, because he needed to shech that Shemina because it was more Mehudah. So then he would be potter. At least that's the way most learn. Now some learn that when it says Kehusha over here, it means it didn't have any fat at all to be Makarvan and Mizmeah. So it was more than just an Indian of Hidur. Nonetheless, I could have been Makai in the Mitzvah because I could have done Zerika. And once I would have done Zerika, I would have been Mekayim, basically, the Kapor of the Korban, even though I wouldn't have had any Ha'alot. Now, the question over here is whether we would go so far as to be Matir Chilul Shabbos for a Hidur Mitzvah. Okay? Almost everybody learns, yes, this would be Hidur Mitzvah. But there are those who say that the Sugya is not absolutely clear on this, because maybe it's talking about that there wasn't anything to be Matir. Okay, I mean, the truth is, I must say, I have a lot of problems with the way many learn this sugya. Because clearly talking over here, you only did the shechita, you didn't do anything beyond the shechita. We're still holding before the kiyum of the mitzvah. And under those circumstances, if the mitzvah has not been mekuyim in some other way, there's certainly no question that you have a right to go ahead and to use the best possible thing for the mitzvah, the way that it's done, l'chatchila.
So Why shouldn't you be chayav on the chuppah?
Well, we'll see in a moment. So over here, not only would you be, would you not be chayav on the second one? We would have told him, hey man, take this one and shecht it, because the first one is not good enough. So Rabba couldn't possibly have been the one who said before that you would be chayav on the second one. If Rabba himself says, well, we would tell him to shecht the second one. So Ibar is saying, so either we made a mistake in that first one, saying even if it were found to be a kachush, or it could be that when we said, remember we said before, we're not sure who said it. Was it Rabba or was Rabami? Well, we just found out. It couldn't have been Rabba, because Rabba himself said the opposite. He said, l'chatkila, you should shech the Shemina. It must have been that that first statement was made by Rabbi Ami. Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi. Now, the truth is that what Ravina is about to raise to Rav Ashi is an issue that completely changes the way we need to understand the previous sugya. And obviously it could have been involved in our understanding the previous sugya. Tosfos in the Shita says, we just didn't want to get involved. In other words, because the first thing, and all of you are hinting at this really, anyone who's made any points here, is that why don't we take into consideration when it was discovered? I mean, doesn't that change everything? And indeed it does. That's the point that Ravami says to, that Ravina says to Ravashi. And, okay, so we really have to see the entire sugya as one long thing. So Ravina says to Ravashi, how about if the Rishona was discovered to be Kehusha only in the Bnei Me'ayin Mah? In other words, I would have had no way of knowing that the Rishon was kachush. It looks excellent. It looks excellent on the surface, but when I open it up after Shechita, and I'm sorry, too late, I already did the Shechita, I discover that it does not have the correct fat content that I would want to put on the Mizbeach. No. Not that it's a trait, it's just kachusha.
How is it translated?
The name Me'ayin means? So there the question is, ma, batar machshavto azlina. Do we say, let's take a look at the guy's machshava. The guy's machshava was gabrali suraka machavin, that this person, when he shechted the second one, not knowing that the first one was kachush. So, I mean, basically what he wanted to do was, it doesn't mean he wanted to do an isra, I mean, he did this thinking that it was mutter, because it was the tzivu or whatever, but nonetheless, the act that he wanted to do was an act at that moment that would have been defined as Isser. So do we go according to the act, or do we go according to the results of the act? So Dilma Boser Ma'asav Aslin, we said, okay, but forget about what his Machshava is in the act, let's take a look what the objective definition, what was achieved by the act. So when he went ahead and he checked for the second one, even though at that point it wasn't clear that there was a difference between there was any need to do the second animal, maybe we should go according to the Machshava. I mean, the act. Omar Lay, Alav Hainu the Rabba Verava. Isn't that clear from that whole famous Maisa, that the Rabba's discussion with the Rava, where the Yitma, that the story over there was, Shamash Tavati Nog Bayam, somebody hears that a child has fallen into the sea. Now he registers that fact. Ufires Mitsudala Halot Dagim, and he went out to go fishing. So he spreads a net on Shabbos to bring up some fish. The Heledagim, and he does bring up fish, now he's chayav. But if he spreads out his net la'alotagim and he ends up getting fish, but he gets a little tinok in there as well. So now the question is, Rava says you're chayav. Rava says you're putter. And you'll notice that Rava only said you're putter would appear because he had already heard about the kid. Suppose he hadn't heard about the kid. His intent was to catch fish on Shabbos. He ended up catching a kid. Now, I mean, it was a good thing that he caught the kid, but apparently that doesn't mean that he's potter. His act was an act of Isser Lefiyaz Machshava, even though it turned out to have been a Dover Shel Heter. So his Machshava apparently defines the whole thing. That's what it would appear.
So you're saying that the Das beforehand changed his Machshava, or his Machshava was still just to go fishing?
Hmm? No, that the Das changed his Machshava. Let's see it inside. So, Ad Kan, not until here at this point, Rabba Lokapotar, Elokim de Shama, the reason, I mean, otherwise, why does it say that he heard that a Tino had drowned? I mean, why did he have to have heard? Why didn't it just say a guy who goes fishing and ends up picking up a child out of the water is Potter, according to Rabba?
Does it make a difference if the child is living or dead?
Well, yeah, it would make a difference whether he could be living, that's for sure. In other words, whether the act was an act of Hatzalah. Yeah. Whether he died lamais at the end isn't important to him. So why does it say? It must be because he needed to hear, right? So Rava was only pottering Kivan the Shama, because since the guy had the information, so we say, look, I mean, he's always thinking to himself, you never know, maybe I'll actually find the coming. Small chance, but he had in Kavona also for the Tino. Avalor Shama, but if he hadn't heard, then it would be entirely defined by his Machshava in the act, rather than in the achievement of the act, in the objective description of the act. Avalor Shama lo? So there's the answer. Who cares whether it turns out ex post facto? We're not going to now define retroactively the act that he did with the Machshavas Iser as heter, because in fact it was required since the first one was kofosh, and it seems everybody agrees with that. Even Rabba. Now, there's another approach to this. The other approach says, no. Ikari Amre, Omar Le, others say that what Ravashi answered was Hainu Pluktayu, the Rabba Barabba. Not that everybody agrees, but that in fact that was the Machlokas. Now, in this version, it's the same exact words. Ditmar Shama Shatova Tino Bayam Ufires Bitsudala Halot Dagim the Heala Dagim. This guy hears about a child, but in this version we don't believe that the hearing is what is important. What we believe is that the hearing about the child is only mentioned in order to let us know that even though he was aware of the fact that there was a child, where he didn't get the child and he got Dagim, there we don't say, well, but Lamaisa, I mean, there was a chance he could have gotten the child, so let's define the act as heter, since somebody else would have put in the net in order to get the child, it would have been heter. That's the reason that it says, no, that much nobody, that far no one will go, to say that if his machshava is for dogim, that the fact that it could have also have landed himself a tinok, that therefore it's heter, that we wouldn't say. So in this version, when Rava says over here that you're potter, it's not because you heard about it. The hearing about it was only telling me that you're chayav where you didn't get the tinok, not that you're potter where you did get the tinok. So Rava amar chayav, Rava amar patur. So apparently, Rava amar patur because he says zil batar ma'asa. Go according to the objective definition. The fact is the child that was saved. The Rava amar chayav, zil batar machshavto. The man intended to do an act that was a fishing. And he did fish. He happened to have gotten a tinok. Okay, so according to this, it would indeed be a machlokis. Oh, my Rabba. Cholesh amdu legrogeretachat. Suppose they found someone who was ill. The doctor says, look, this guy is having a reaction. He's got to have at least one pill of something. And 10 people go running to bring that pill. And they all bring one pill. Now he's got 10 pills. He doesn't need 10 pills. They'll kill him if they give him 10 pills. So Ratsu Asara B'nei Adam, Ve'eviyola Asara Grogrot, Ve'batachat, it's Potter. As a matter of fact, Afilo B'zachazet, even if each one went for a shuls, and each one went to do a mitzvah that he was supposed to do, what's more, Afilo Karam Ve'ivri B'rishona, even if the guy was already perfectly well, he was having a pain in his heart, we got him nitroglycerin, by the time the second guy comes, he's feeling perfectly okay, and he's out having a picnic. Makes no difference. What they did, they were supposed to do. Boy, Rava, my question, says Rava Wood, what about in a case where he needs two dates, okay? Shamdu l'shtei, I mean, figs, shtei grogrot, v'yei shtei grogrot v'shtei ukatsin. That's a very interesting situation. He's got two clusters, one of them, he's got one of them that has three dates on a single cluster, and he's got two other clusters that have one piece. What does he do? V'sholosh bo ketzachat. Haiminayo maitzin. What do you do? Do you bring shtayim maitzin and the kozel? Do you bring the two, which is what he needs? O do mashalosh maitzin to come a mayit ktira? Do we say, no, it's better to bring more with less malacha? Now, the Ran uses this Gemara to make a very important yesod that nobody agrees with. And that is that ribui bishurim is a deraisa. In other words, having more shiur. Because, look, I mean, this whole thing is absurd. What do I care how many there are on a stock? The act of ktsira is not defined by the number. The act of ktsira is defined by the act. You did one, you picked one thing, so you did one act of ktsira. Therefore, since the Gemara considers the number that are attached, it appears clear, says the Ran, that's not true, what I just said. And that the shiur of the ketzira is in fact definitive. So one grogeret, which is always the shiur of Chilas Shabbos, is not as chamor as two grogeret, because that would be two shiur of the ketzira. Otherwise, I mean, this whole thing is nonsensical. What's he asking?
Even though the act itself is one act of cutting, it's the amount that you're cutting.
Exactly. And this has a lot of nafkaminas. We've got to be determining what to do first, and what is the deraisa and so on.
You cook 50 cups of tea to one.
Exactly. So the action, each action would be a separate.
It's one cooking of 50 cups.
Right. But nonetheless, ribuy of shiurim, according to the Ran, would make it in a separatist of deraisa. Nobody else learns this way, but according to them, this is not a serious abaya. In other words, Rava is simply the din of ribuy bishurim is a darabona, according to the other Rishonim. And what all that Rava is doing is speaking that out. He's not really asking this as an abaya, which is why he says pshita, but then it's clear, and he's bringing it in here because of our Mishnah. Pshita shalosh maisin, and obviously you bring the single one, the single stalk that has three grogrot on it. The atam lo kamer of Yishmael atam eladachim amayit beachila kam amayit ketzira. Because what? Even what's Rabbi Yishmael saying? Rabbi Yishmael is saying it's better to cut less, right? Even though you're going to end up getting that amount out of the three. But the less you do the act of ketzira, the better. But the only reason he said that, I mean, I can't look on Yishmael Hassan, Elohim Amayit Bachila, come Amayit Ketzira. I mean, basically what he's saying is that if you have less food, and in this case, of course, it means less tua, three instead of five sa, you're going to end up having the advantage of doing fewer acts of ketzira. But certainly Haka, in the case that we've just raised, where by eating less, you're going to end up doing more ketzira, then that's ridiculous. He would never have suggested that you should end up doing more ketzira in order to get less food. So, vadai sholosh maisina, it's better to do less ketzira and to cut one stalk, even though you're going to end up with more food. Mitzvata omer lahavi min hakarot. The mitzvah of Chatzila of the Omer is to bring from as close to Yerushalayim as you possibly can, as we'll see why. Lo biker hakarov Yerushalayim. If the grain near Yerushalayim hasn't ripened because of the climate, maybe in otam mikol makom, you can bring it from anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, wherever it's ripened. In fact, there was even a ma'aseh sheba ha'omer migagot tzrifim, u'shtei alechem mibik'at ein socher. There was a point in time, we'll see what that point was, where they had to bring the Omer far away from Yerushalayim, from where they believe that that's where Serifin is now, you know, the army base and hospital. And Shtei Alechem from Bikat Ein Socher, were recently known the Shintza because of the Pigua in Serifin. Yeah. That was the Arab Sarifan, I think they would call it. You know, Sarifan.
What's the Bogram on
the Oh, we'll see. The Gemara will talk about the problem. Says the Gemara, my time. What's the problem? Indeed, why is it necessary to bring it from near Yerushalayim? Ibai Seima Mishum Carmel, either because the Torah calls it Geres Carmel, and Carmel doesn't mean a mountain, but rather means Rach Vimal, which means soft and squishy, filled, exactly, filled with, yes, exactly, a caramel. A caramel. Squishy, filled. So mole and rach. Tosva says, we're not playing games over here. The word itself, we find similar, like salma and simla. Salma or simla are used interchangeably. So too is kar and rach used interchangeably. It's not one of these games that we're playing with being misari or something, and you know, most even the goni. So the or keves or kesev. So the point is that if we pick it far away from Yerushalayim, it dries in transport, and we want it to be as soft and squishy as it can be, and therefore it should be near Yerushalayim. V'ibay deimar. There's another alternative, which simply mishum deimar b'yirna l'mitzvot. And having found something that's roi, take it. As we saw with Lagavi, the dam and the mizbeach, where you know when you come off of the mizbeach, where you should put the shirayim. Again, eimar b'yirna l'mitzvot. Well, we're doing for Shabbos anyway. We're Mechalel Shabbos for the Ayna. That was our whole. We do whatever we need to do. Maaseh Shabbah Omer Migagot Tzvi'in. I mean, of course, it's not necessarily talking about Shabbos here, but even if it were, our mission is not a Shabbos mission. Why Yonta? It's the 16th. Maaseh Shabbah Omer Migagot Tzvi'in. Tana Rabban, the story was. When you had the internecine fighting in the Malach of the Beit Hashmonai, where Hyrcanus was outside of Yerushalayim and Aristobulus was inside, so they every day they used to put out money for those on the outside, so that the forces of Hyrcanus would take the money. Umalin lahem tmidim would bring, send up korbonos for the Aveda. Now, Yasham zaken echad shayamakir b'chuchmat yivanit. There was a zaken who was inside with the forces of Aristobulus, and he was a spy. And basically, chuchmat yivanit, according to almost all the Rishonim, is a mode of communication in which no one who is unfamiliar with chuchmat yivanit understands what you're saying. So it was a way of utilizing code.
It's all Greek to me.
Exactly. A way of utilizing words or remuzim of various kind to get across information and not be discovered as a spy. So he was la'azvan b'chokmat yivanit. He told them, basically, that kozman, amalan kozman shasukim b'avodah, enim sarim b'yadeichim. You should just know that as long as they keep doing the Aveda, then you're never going to win this war. So the Machar Sheshalulam Dinarim Bekupa, the next day when they sent down the barrel full of coins, Helulam Chazir. They put a Chazir into the barrel, and Kivan Shigiel Achati Choma Na'at Tzipor Nav Bechoma, Nizda Az'aret Yisrael Arba Meot Parasa, Al Arba Meot Parasa. And so the Chazir stuck its foot into the choma, and there it's all shook for 400 parsos. Botash amru arur shigadel chazir, the arur shilamed beno chokmat yivanit. So at that time, that was the time where they made the gezera against chokmat yivanit and against gidul chazirim. The alotash ashanir was during that war where all around Yerushalayim, Rashi learns that all around Yerushalayim, the armies had devastated the area, The Marsha says that it's much more than that, but there's plenty of times that armies were around Yerushalayim and so on. And even about Tasha'a. The point over here was that they were going out of their way to prevent the Avodah from being done. So therefore, any grain that was available was hidden. And they couldn't find an omer, which is not normally what would have been done. So that's when we said, Ma'aseh Sheba Omer, Migagot Sarifim, Ushtealek, and Mibikat Ein Socher. Because what happened was, Kimota Omer, when the time to be Mak of the Omer came, Lo Aviyadi Meheta Aite Omer. They didn't know where to bring the Omer. In other words, they couldn't find any grain. So they had hidden the grain. So Achrazu, they went and they were Makris, that if anybody knows where to get grain, they should step forward. Ata Hu Charsha, so there was a guy who was dumb and he couldn't speak, he was mute. But he had heard Achraz, he wasn't deaf. So he couldn't communicate with them, but what he did was, so he put one hand on the roof, and he put another hand on a tzrif. The Marshal learned that they had actually hidden the Omer, or they had hidden the grain under tzrifim. So tzrifim are like teepees, that are, you know, you make with, you just tie it on the top. So, sorry?
Under
they had hidden the grain under tzrifim. Amalu Mordechai miikaduk to the Shema Gagot tzrifim. So Mordechai, Rashi learns this is literally Mordechai, who was from the time of Ahasuerus, which would have given him an awfully long lifetime. But Tosfos says Mordechai simply is the name of the person who had the position of Mordechai. They always, yeah, the position in Shkolim, as we'll see, Mordechai was the name of the individual in charge of the Ptach, though, who was Mordechai initially, was in charge of the Kinyan. So this, we'll see why. But according to Tosfos, it's the name of a position. We find many of the positions in the Beit HaMikdash are named Alpi, the original holder of the position. Sorry? Yeah, exactly. So the individual was filling the role of Mordechai, and they would choose individuals who were in fact similar to Mordechai, that had the language skills of Mordechai. Those of you who remember the Megillas Esther, that was the issue with Mordechai. So he said, when he saw what the Cheresh did, he said, is there a place that's called Gagot Tzrifim, maybe? Or Tzrifim Gagot? But they indeed checked around and found a place called Gagot Tzrifim, went out, and there was the grain. And the same thing happened that year when they needed to get the Shtei Alechem. The Marshal learns the reason that this guy was the only one to know is because they had hidden the grain. It's all part of the thing. They said they'd hidden the grain. And they thought that a mute wouldn't be able to get out the information. They weren't mocked that he shouldn't hear the information. They might have thought that he was deaf as well. No, but in any event, he did know and he was able to communicate with them. Yes. No, they covered it. They covered it in the field. So Kiboy Lati, we'll see later on. There's a mission about Katsir, Lomatsa Katsir, whatever. We'll talk about it soon. So the same thing happened to Shalat. You didn't know where to go. So again they announced, if anybody has any information, Atahu Gabra Charsha. This guy came, a mute came. Otiv Yodaya'ene. So he puts one of his hands on his eyes. He puts another hand on the Sikhra. Now, the Sikhra, there's a lot of possibilities. Rashi learns the Sikhra is what we always refer to as the hole in which a bolt is put through to lock a door. So he put one hand on the door hole in the wall. Tosfos says a sikhra may simply be a dam, or maybe a kever, also is used as a lashon of a secher. It's interesting that he brings the pasuk that ose secher is admei nefesh, which has recently come to light. Right. You know the ad, you never know the true cost of a dam. I saw that with the greens. How famous is that? It's a beautiful picture of a dam, with it, and on the dam it's written, you never know the true cause of the dam. It's the environmental cause. This is the Agma Nefesh. Anyway, so again, Mordechai went into action over here, and he said, "Amalu Mordechai, ni kaduchta tishma ein socher or socher ein? Is there a place like that?" But they went, checked out, bashkechu, they found the grain there. Well, yeah, of course, the whole sugya is involved. I mean, I think it's because it's the Shtei Alechem and the Omer. The entire sugya is involved in language and in understanding Ramaz and the relationship of Remez, the language, and being unable to speak and to still be able to communicate. Again, the whole question is what would sign language be? Is language, you know, how does it relate to Mordechai Bilshan? Sorry? We hope it's not like Barnea. They wanted to get there. It was a mitzvah where three women brought three kinim. One of them said, "I'm bringing this cane lizivati." That sounds pretty straightforward. Apparently she was a zava that was chayavis in a cane. A zava who brings a cane, one is a chatas and one is a maila. Standard karma. One of them comes along and says, "This is liyamati," which sounds like she's saying, "But boy, was I flowing. I was a free-flowing woman," meaning Zava as well. V'chod amra le'onati. And one of them said, "Well, it's my time to bring it," Mash, but it's their eighth day after she was mit taheret from Zivot. And she's bringing it. So everybody there, the bureaucrats, assumed, Zava mina, Zivati is Zava mamish, Yamati is Yamati mamish, Onati is la'onata. And they said, they're all basically korbanos rezivos. And they were going to bring these three kinim, each one of which would be chad achatas v'chad ha'ela. Now Mordechai, who made the final determination, because he was in charge of the kinim, he said, what makes you say that that's what it meant? Shema, maybe the one who said the zivati meant, Shema bezov sichna. Maybe she had some really serious feminine troubles and almost died from hemorrhaging or something, and she was saying that I'm going to bring a gift to the Lord. So she was basically sending two oilas. Yeah, there were a set of oilas, and the one who said Yamati might have had she might have been on the Titanic and she survived. So Shema Biyam Sikta, maybe she was bringing a gift of two olot. And the one that said Ba'onati, maybe she's got a problem with an eye and she was saved. It was Be'ina Sichna, in which case all of them would be olos. You can't jump to conclusions about such things. But indeed they went, checked out what the intent had been. The Yashkach, and they discovered that indeed they were all meant to be olos, as Mordechai had said. V'ayad Itznan, that's why we find in the Mishnah Shkolin, P'tachya Alakinim. P'tachya Alakinim, that P'tachya is in charge of the kinim, of the shofar of kinim, where people put in money for kinim. And we call him Ptachya, it's really Mordechai, and Lamani Kushmo, Ptachya shepoteach devarim vidorshan, because he knows how to open words up and vidorish what they might possibly mean. Yodea b'shivim lashon, and he's familiar with 70 languages. What's the big deal about that? I mean, Kul Sanhedrin Ami had a Shivim Lashon. I thought all of Sanhedrin knows Shivim Lashon. Delm Rav Yochanan, Ein Moshivim B'Sanhedrin Ela Ba'alei Chokma, Ba'alei Mar'a, Ba'alei Koma, Ba'alei Zikna, Ba'alei Kshafim, V'yodim Shivim Lashon. That a member of Sanhedrin has to be wise, has to be handsome, has to be tall, has to be aged, has to be a bucky in Kishuk, in order to be able to pask in the Dinim in Kishuk, and he has to know Shivim Lashon. Shalote Sanhedrin Shoma'at Mipia Turgiman, because you can't have a Bezdin hearing testimony from an interpreter. So what's the big deal that makes Mordechai unique as a member of Sanhedrin? Eladahavi Baya Lishnei V'dorish. He used to be able to mix various Lishonot and understand etymologies from one to the other that other people could do is a bilshan. Vayna d'chsiba Mordechai bilshan, which is of course the source of the modern balshanut, which comes from Mordechai. What's that?
What does that mean?
Well, the real meaning of Balshan is someone who is doesn't have an English equivalent. It's actually you can study Balshanut in universities here. You can't study Balshanut. The closest thing in English is linguistics. It's not quite the same because it's like a detective work. So they call detectives also Balshanim based on the same Balash, you know, based on the same idea. But of course, interesting, huh? Yeah. That's